Continuing now with a slightly different view of the economy. So, from food item
to all the fatty special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. You deserve a break today at McDonald's.
Where your dollar gets a break.
That's right. Day. To cultural icon known the world over. Listen.
You know what they call a quarter pounder with cheese in Paris?
They don't call it a quarter pounder with cheese?
They call it Royale with cheese.
Royale with cheese.
That's right.
What do they call a Big Mac?
Big Mac's a Big Mac, but they call it Le Big Mac.
Le Big Mac. What do they call a Whopper?
I don't know. I didn't go on a Burger King.
The movie Pulp Fiction digressing on the power of branding there, but the real power of the McDonald's Big Mac is how, as a global commodity, that's how many Big Macs are consumed each day, on that scale, the two all-beef patties, special sauce, etc., the Big Mac, not the MacBook, becomes a window on the global economy. Princeton economist Orly Ashenfelter has created what's called the Big Mac Index, which measures a country's wealth based on the average wages of a McDonald's employee tracked with the cost of a Big Mac. Professor Ashenfelter joins us today from his home in Princeton, New Jersey. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
So, Professor, when did you first start to suspect that the Big Mac might offer some sort of global insights into the economy?
Actually, I had an epiphany. 1998, I was with a friend in India, and I would ask him when arguments about what was happening to the economy came up, well, how much does a person who works in a McDonald's make? And, of course, I then had to ask, and you do have McDonald's, don't you? And the answer was yes. So we went off to a McDonald's in New Delhi, and I had a big – there it's called a Maharaja Mac, by the way. And in those days, it was made from ground lamb, quite a good burger. Now they usually use a chicken type. I bought it for 45 rupees and a shake and fries, and the restaurant looked exactly like one here. Only difference is everybody was brown. But other than that, it was looked exactly like an American one. And I was in India, and I found out that a worker there made about 15 rupees. So what that means is they were making about 25 cents an hour, and the Big Mac was going to cost me about $1.25. So all in all, it was a good deal for me. I got a cheap Big Mac, and then I realized, oh, my God, they're not making very much money.
So this track of the cost of a Big Mac and who the market for a Big Mac is with the wages of the workers who make food like this tells you what broadly about the Indian economy, and then let's extrapolate to some other places.
Well, it's poor. What it really tells you is that the country is not very productive. So the wage rates that are paid in the McDonald's are going to be like the wage rates paid for any sort of a job that uses that level of skill. The attraction of using them is that McDonald's has a policy of making everything exactly the same everywhere. You may not realize the reason for it because you're too young. I'm old enough to know. The reason is because of food safety. What McDonald's sells in a country like China or India, where half the people cannot drink the water safely, you and I could not drink it at all, what they sell is food safety. You don't get sick. So this is a very high reward for them. They're growing like crazy in China, 50,000 employees already. They have another 50,000 probably coming on this year. Wouldn't surprise me if they have 1 million people working McDonald's in due course. So what it does is it gives you a window on the economy. Of course, it's at a certain wage level, and it lets you have some idea of how productive the country is, and probably more important, whether it's growing.
That's so interesting. All right, let's take this Big Mac Index and apply it to the big economic story this morning. What do you think is happening to the Big Mac Index in, say, Greece or Spain, or what's likely to happen as the political fallout in France takes its course?
Well, it's going the problem here is that everywhere, since 2007, pretty much everywhere in the world, with a few exceptions, what's happened is that wage rates at this level have gone down relative to the prices that people are paying for things. So it'll be, and we do it every year. We collect the data every year. It'll be interesting to see. I think that wage rates have stagnated all over Europe. They've stagnated in the United States in the period from 2007 to 2011. I don't know how – it'd be very interesting to know exactly what happens over time. I don't think it will be anything dramatic. It'll probably be gradual. But what has to happen over time, and this is going to happen, is that the countries that have problems are going to have decreases in their real wage rates. Just inevitable.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about how the Big Mac Index measures maybe important threshold points in the economy. Would you say that it is the case, and of course the Big Mac is marketed differently around the world. You've mentioned that food safety is more important than fast food in the United States as a marketing point, but nevertheless, because of the uniformity of the Big Mac, when you, for instance, and maybe you have a better statistic than this, if you reach a point where you can no longer afford a Big Mac, even though you work at a McDonald's, what does that say about your economy in the working class sector?
Well, of course, in the U.S., you earn about in the developed world, you earn 2 to 3 Big Macs per hour of work. In a place like India, the typical Indian worker would never eat a Big Mac. It costs too much money for them. They're earning, instead of earning 3 Big Macs, they're earning a quarter of a Big Mac or a third of a Big Mac per hour. So it takes them half a day in order to earn enough money to make to eat something like that. So they wouldn't use that. Clearly, what happens is that as the economy grows, if you're a very poor country, as is the case in most of the world, it's only going to be the wealthier people who are going to be going to fast food places of the kind like McDonald's. And then as the country grows, China, of course, has grown really dramatically. As it grows, this will reach to a further level here.
And as those demographics move above the threshold where they can afford the Big Mac, they sort of understand where they are. Finally, before we go, can we use this analysis for, say, cell phones, other ubiquitous products that people have?
That's interesting. Yes, I've thought about it for other things. The big difference here is that a Big Mac is what I call quasi-tradable. Half of what goes into the Big Mac is brought in from outside the country and traded, and half of it isn't. It's the labor. Cell phones, of course, are entirely tradable, so they should be the same price everywhere. That won't be the case with a Big Mac. So Big Mac gives you a special window, a little bit different.
All right. Professor Orly Ashenfelter, professor of economics at Princeton University, author of the Big Mac Index. Thanks so much.
Great to be with you.